The reason I started the blog, it was really out of my own interest in conflicts going on in relation to the Arab Spring. I followed Libya extremely closely, and it was quite interesting to see how, you know, again, through social media, you could get little bits of extra information what was going on in the conflict, especially from journalists tweeting from Libya. And when it came to Syria, I thought there's so much information that was missed in Libya. Why not put that in one place for myself and for other people as well?
Was it quite difficult then, when you're looking at all these videos in a language that presumably you don't speak, to really understand A, what's going on, and B, what is correct information?
Well, one of the reasons I sort of focus on arms is because they're quite easy to sort of spot and identify. You don't really need to know the language, and they're actually quite straightforward, so they aren't very time-consuming to work on. But I do look at other areas. I've examined a couple of war crimes before. What I've done with one example, there was an execution in Aleppo of 20 soldiers, and I found the original Facebook page it was posted on, and that belonged to a group, and they had posted it on their own YouTube channel. So I knew that was a sort of genuine video because they had been using that channel for a long time. So to me, that seemed like pretty good evidence it belonged to that group. But it's really using the resources available to make as much of these videos as possible.
You make it sound, A, very easy, and what you do, not very complicated. But in fact, it's incredibly specialised what you do.
I think because I've been doing it for quite a while. I mean, it's like with Syria, I've been covering, watching videos from there for about a year, and I've been very careful to analyse the videos in it. So now, when I see a video coming from Syria, I immediately spot anything that's going to be interesting very, very quickly.
You're now working with lots of journalists. You've been working on articles with New York Times journalists and NGOs. Do you see yourself and the work you're doing as journalism?
You know, it's almost like recording a history of the conflict, the sort of areas that are being missed by the traditional media. But I've never really seen myself as a journalist.
So what does a typical day involve for you?
In the evening, I'll sit down with my laptop and start working my way through all the videos that have been posted on YouTube channels. I've actually collected about a list of 450 YouTube channels I try and check on a regular basis. Then I keep an eye out for anything interesting that in those channels, and then see if there's anything worth blogging about.
And when you do blog and you post these things on your blog, you've actually broken stories, haven't you? Like the start of the use of cluster bombs in Syria, and also now recently an alleged Croatian arms trade going on.
Well, the cluster bomb story, in a way, it was quite straightforward because I was just searching through videos as normal, and I came across a video that showed a what looked to me at the time, I wasn't even familiar with cluster bombs at the time, but it looked to me what could be like cluster bombs. So I started looking through various reference images and managed to find the exact type of cluster bomb it was and lots of additional information. So I put the blog post up, and then Human Rights Watch picked up on that story, and that was the first use. And that was back in July. And then later on in October, the government forces started using massive amounts of cluster bombs. And at that point, I started tracking all of them. And now I'm working with Human Rights Watch to collect all the videos of cluster bombs used in Syria. So far, I've got around 500 videos collected, sorted by regions. And the information is going to be put out into the public eventually, and it'll be used for various products, such as finding where these bombs are so they can be removed. With the Croatian weapons, that was a bit more complex because that was really a case of seeing individual examples of weapons that I didn't think belonged in Syria. First of all, it was rocket launchers from Yugoslavia, and then M60 recoilless guns from Yugoslavia. And they aren't used by the Syrian army, so they were very strange. But I thought it could be, you know, just some black market arms. But then a video was posted on state television that showed hundreds of rounds of ammunition for these weapons and four different types of weapons, all that had links to Croatia, because there was also a RBG-6 grenade launcher, which was manufactured in Croatia, and RPG-22 rocket launchers, which are Soviet but also used in Croatia. So there was a certain amount of linkage between all of them. So when I was asked to write a blog for the New York Times on a subject, I picked that subject, and they were very impressed by what I wrote and decided to take it further.
So then they started investigating it, and the journalist that worked with you has sort of confirmed that there is this arms trade going on?
That's right. They had several journalists working on it, and they did a massive amount of work to confirm this with various sources. They've pretty much mapped out the whole thing. They've done a really tremendous job, and they've shown that the Croatians were selling arms to the Saudi Arabians, who have then flying them to Jordan to be smuggled over to the border into Syria.
And when you say Croatians, do you mean Croatian government, Croatian arms companies, or just Croatians?
As far as I'm aware, it's an official project. You know, I'm not sure who's exactly is aware of it, but it's certainly is not something that's being done by sort of criminals or the black market. It's, you know, it's got official rubber snap dampers fives and whatever, but it's, the question is who actually knows about it. Because it's interesting that the MP Tom Watson in the UK has been asking the British government what they were aware of with the whistle project, and so far they've been unable to answer his questions.
Have you got any desire to go to Syria now and verify things for yourself on the ground?
I'd love to sort of be there and looking at the sort of stuff, you know, on the videos. I mean, sometimes you want to see what the serial numbers are on guns and, you know, for the real arms tracking. But I'm, you know, I'm constantly told by journalists in the area how bad the situation is out there on the ground for anyone who's coming in to investigate, just for the sheer level of violence and journalists being targeted. And you hear about all these sort of amateur journalists who, you know, they might be in a gap year or they think they've got a camera, so they qualify as a journalist, going over there, getting themselves in trouble. And I just think there's enough serious people out there, serious journalists and serious investigators, that they don't need a blogger from England popping over to join in.